What was the compliment someone gave you that wasn't actually a compliment? Oh, you look great. 651-641. No, really. 641. Oy vey. 651-641-1071. Good afternoon and welcome to the second hour of the Colleen and Bradley Show. I'm the Bradley. That's the Colleen.
Hi.
And Holly, of course, just waiting for you to give us a jingle. Colleen. Colleen, why are we asking about compliments that weren't actually compliments?
Okay, so this came up on Friday. We were talking about Sharon Stone, so it started with Jonah Hill was like, hey guys, can you just like not comment on my weight and stuff? Because I know you're trying to be nice, but it just like doesn't feel good. And then Sharon Stone was like, but can I tell you, you look great? And that got us talking about those compliments that you get from people that aren't actually compliments, even though I'm never even really sure what people think they're doing when they do that. But like, here's an example. 651-641-1071. When somebody says to you, oh my gosh, I found your doppelganger. You look exactly like this person.
Yeah.
And it's like Steve Buscemi. And you're like,
oh God.
I mean,
unless you're Steve Buscemi.
Some of my best friends are Steve Buscemi. That maybe doesn't feel good for people. So yeah. I'm just saying, like, when did you ever get a compliment like that, that somebody made it sound like a compliment, but it was not a compliment?
Oh, 651-641-1071. And Holly, I can't see anything. So you just jump right in when there's a caller on the
line.
Great.
Well, we have two people on the line. Let's go to Sharon first.
Hi, Sharon.
Thanks for sharing, Sharon.
You look great today, Sharon. What's your compliment that wasn't a compliment?
Well, it's sort of like that. I was 71 at the time and walking hand in hand with my boyfriend, and this millennial came over and said, oh, you two look so cute, adorable, holding hands like that.
Oh.
Like, hello. I might be old, but I'm not dead.
Oh, my word.
It's just fascinating how people treat old people.
Yes.
And how they think that...
Or just act as though they're not there.
Yes. Or that we somehow... People change when they're older. They don't have sex. They don't do anything. They just sit in wheelchairs or rocking chairs or something. I don't know. It's just fascinating.
No.
Oh, Sharon.
What do you say back?
Yeah. You know, what did you say back?
Like I said, I said, I'm old, but we aren't dead.
Yeah.
That was gracious of you.
Yes.
I might have like grabbed a cheek and went, oh, but you're so cute too.
Thank you, Sharon.
Thanks, Sharon.
And who else we got on the line there, Holly?
Terry's on the line.
Hey, Terry, what's the compliment that wasn't really a compliment?
Hello, are you talking to me?
Yes, I am.
Yes.
Okay. Well, I get this quite a bit, and it's kind of similar to what your caller was just saying. I'm in my 60s, and people say to me, you look great for your age.
Mm-hmm.
They feel the need to add, for your age.
Mm-hmm.
I would think, you know, if you would have stopped that, you look great, it would have made me feel good. But
right?
Not so much.
Yeah, no, I hear you. Thank you so much for that.
That's a good one.
I mean, any of those, right? You have to be really careful because, like, it's just like you're making an observation, but you need to think through the observation you're making with your own, like, mind before you release it out of your mouth because you might be unintentionally rude.
Well, I mean, you know, listen, this one never feels good to receive, but I know I've given it too, which is terrible. When you say, similar to what Terry just said, when maybe you're like trying on clothes with somebody and they go, how does it look? And you're like, oh, that looks great for you, which basically says like, I hate it.
Yeah.
But you look good in it.
Yeah. Well, that's one of those where you just have to be honest. Like, I don't like that. I mean, what else are you going to say? Like, right. If you're lying to the person, then that's on you. But if you're honestly like, well, it's not my favorite, but if you really love it, sure, you do you.
You do you.
You do you. 651-641-1071. What's the compliment that's not really a compliment? For me, the one that I thought of was the one that's already been given, which is like, oh, you look great for ... age. Mm-hmm. Like, what does that mean?
Right.
Like
thanks?
Okay, sure.
Also, I mean, even for those of us who are somewhat skeptical of all compliments, when somebody just says something like, you look great, you're like, as opposed to what? Yesterday when I looked like trash?
Like a troll?
But that's on me. That's on me. That's not on you. Holly, do we have anybody else on the phone?
Oh, she's working it.
Oh, she's working them phones. I think that, they're...
Our girl is working
I can it. See out of the corner of my eye that we have quite a few people on the line. So that tells me that you guys are really good at giving... interesting.
Or receiving terrible compliments.
Terrible compliments.
That aren't actual compliments. Yeah. Which I always like, what, there's got to be a name for that. There's got to be some sort of like...
Passive aggressive?
Yeah, like, yeah, maybe.
Minnesotan?
Because it's so, like, you know when you get it and you know how it feels where you're like, oh, I think you just meant to be rude.
Yeah.
Holly, who do we have on the line?
Let's go to Bonnie.
Hi, Bonnie. Bonnie, what's your compliment that's not a compliment?
I was touring a family at a child care center I was working at, and the woman turned to me at one point and said, by the way, cute maternity top. But I wasn't pregnant.
No.
And I mean, I was a bit overquaked at that time. But then the next day, this woman called back, and I happened to answer the phone. And she said, yeah, I just wanted to call and to the person that toured me yesterday and apologize. She was rather a chubby woman, and I go, that was me.
No! People are horrible!
Oh, horrible, right?
My word.
Like, not only did she try to solve the problem that she created in the first place, she just made it even worse.
She made it worse, yeah.
What did you say?
Nothing. Mm. I said, yeah, that was me, and I hung up.
Did they end up sending their child to that child care?
No, thank goodness.
Yeah, they were like,
thank God.
Maybe we won't do that.
I don't know how I can show my face there.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh, thanks, Bonnie, I'm sorry. Thanks, guys.
Thank you for that.
Thank you.
Let's, who else do we have on the phone, Holly? Let's let them be our last word on compliments that aren't really compliments.
I'm going to go to Peg.
Hi, Peg.
Hi, how are you two?
You know,
good.
We're hanging out.
You are just a breath of fresh air.
I love talking to you.
Well, we love hearing from you. What's the compliment that's not a compliment?
So I was talking with my mom and reminding her of a story that happened in my youth. And she looked at me and she said, you know, you have a lake of useless knowledge, don't you? And that's... I'm like, I really resisted the urge to give her an appendage.
Yeah.
But for the rest of time, I now consider myself full of useless knowledge.
Hey, look, all knowledge is useful.
No kidding.
I'm telling you.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for bringing your knowledge to us.
It and was she useful did, and then she
in
left.
Our moment.
I would say, you know, to that person, I would then respond, well, you have an endless, what was it, endless lake of useless. I'd have to work on that because otherwise I would have just failed on a comeback. I'm not going to come back at all. Oh, yeah, you're really good. Well, whatever.
Yeah, well,
your face.
You're living.
When we come back here on the Colleen and Bradley Show, from compliments to not compliments, we have to give you an update on Brian Austin Green and Megan Kelly Fox. Her name's actually Megan Fox. We call them Michigan. We'll tell you what they're up to when we return right here on My Talk 1071. Welcome back to the Colleen and Bradley Show here on My Talk 1071, streaming live and doing everything publationships, post, pre-publationships. What is a publationship? I will tell you that in a mere moment here on the Colleen and Bradley Show, but I'm the Bradley, that's the Colleen.
Hi.
And Holly, of course. Colleen, tell us what a publationship is quickly.
That is a relationship for publicity.
Yes. And
if you Google it, you will find us attached to it because we made it up. Thank you.
Not to toot our own horns, but we're gonna get real horny tooting.
Somebody's gotta toot it.
So I need to give you an update on a bag and a Megyn Kelly Fox. And you don't know what any of that means because I just made up those words. Not really. Brian Austin Green and Megyn Fox. They used to be married, but they are no longer. And in fact, they've gone on to their own relationships with others, to much to the amusement and delight / annoyance of us here on the Colleen and Bradley Show.
Correct.
However, we can now say that their divorce is finally final. And I think the details of their divorce, that is, might help us explain the rampant tabloid stories that we've seen with these two. So let me just back it up and say, you know, we've talked a lot about these two since they broke up, mostly because they got into different relationships. Brian Austin Green, he was like allegedly, supposedly going on dates with ladies, including but not limited to Courtney Stodden.
And Tina Louise.
Tina Louise, not from the Gilligan's Island.
Gilligan's Island.
But ended up dating and is currently dating a woman by the name of Sharna Burgess, who stars on Dancing with the Stars. Megyn Fox, in turn, started dating Machine Gun Kelly, and their publicationship name is Michigan. Brian Austin Green and Sharna Burgess's publicationship name is Brna. But we talked a lot about those publicationships, and I think if we look at the story about Megyn Fox and Brian Austin Green's divorce settlement, it might explain that, like, publicationship cavalcade of stories better.
Ooh, tell me more.
So there was a story over
I'm leaning in.
Ooh, I like that. Over on TMZ, there's a story that says that Megyn Fox and Brian Austin Green have finally hashed out a settlement, and all they need is a judge's signature, which should come any day now. And according to all sources, they have agreed to joint legal custody joint legal and physical custody of their three boys, which something they had agreed to do from the beginning. So that's not much of headline news. But what I thought was headline news is that apparently there was not a prenuptial agreement with Brian Austin Green and Megyn Fox.
Huh.
And in California, of course, that means that anything that they acquired during their 10-year marriage would be 50-50. So I thought that was significant, right? The fact that these two very high-profile actors, who you'd think should know better when it comes to high-powered actors with money, pew-pew, that they should have had a prenuptial agreement, right? Like, it's shocking to me that they wouldn't.
I feel like that's par for the course in Hollywood. That's why I'm sort of shocked by it. But the other thing I'm shocked by is, of the two of them, I feel like that would have protected her more.
Mm-hmm.
Because I feel like she's more, I don't want to say she's more successful, but she certainly was working more at the time that they got married. And so I just find it really shocking that, like you said, that they did. I mean, that's par for the Hollywood marriage course. But also, it would have protected her, I feel like, in the long run.
But then you'll remember after they broke up, there were all of these stories about she behaving like a child or a teenager, mm-hmm. you know, going off and not being a good parent. And then there were stories about him, like she would shade him on social media about not being a good parent. And then mm-hmm. there were all these stories about him showing off being a good parent. And so mm-hmm. you had this, like, these two warring media narratives happening between both of them. And I think that explains to me then why that happened. Why did we see all these stories about them accusing one another of not being the best parents or acting immaturely? It's because there was no prenup. There was nothing.
Oh, my gosh. That makes perfect sense.
There was, you know, they were fighting for a battle of perception.
Right.
That, you know, we've since learned that actors celebrities are very good at using tabloids to paint a picture that will help them in the courtroom.
Right. Because they're trying each other in the court of public opinion. And so if they can make each other look like they are not great parents or like they are being irresponsible, that could translate. But it seems to me, and I am no lawyer. However, it seems to me that, like, the law is pretty firm in terms of when there isn't a prenuptial agreement, what then becomes marital assets and how they split that down the middle.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so it's almost like, it almost seems ridiculous to me that they would be working so hard to try this in the
court. Well, but custody is not a foregone conclusion, right?
True.
And now, you know, that they're both going to have joint and equal custody of their kids. So I feel like, you know, no one was able to sort of like run away with the public narrative, because I think they both looked like petulant children. But at the end of the day, the court saw fit to allow them both the opportunity to be with their kids.
Well, I'm just glad that the national nightmare is over.
Yes. Well, I don't know, because now they're in their own publationships trying to get work, because we know that publationships, in addition to, you know, generating headlines, those headlines can then turn into work opportunities. So I feel like
we're
going to see them. All right. When we come back here on the Colleen and Bradley Show, we've got some more celebrities behaving badly. We call them
D-bags.
Do that right here on My Talk 107.1. Oh, celebrities, stop behaving badly, won't you? And by that I mean, please don't ever stop behaving badly, because Colleen and I would have nothing else to talk about here on the Colleen and Bradley Show on My Talk 107.1. Good afternoon and welcome back to our beautiful program. It's now time to get ugly with some celebrities behaving badly. We call them...
D-bags!
D-bags!
Yay! Presenting Lord and Lady Douchebag of the Day.
Oh, Brad, we're going to need you to deliver your D-bag first while I go over here in the kitchen.
You go over to the kitchen, and while you're over there, I'm going to tell you about my D-bag today. Celebrity who's behaving badly. Her name is Kourtney Kardashian. Why? Because she went berserk, allegedly, supposedly, according to Page Six, searching for Travis Barker's phone on a flight. Now, the news has, of course, hovered around Travis Barker and Kourtney Kardashian preparing to wed, in fact, which is something we weren't planning on. But before that happened, there was this story, and I think this story tells us far more about them than the stories of them getting to wed. Apparently, now this took place last week, but apparently we're just learning about it, or we learned about it over the weekend. So Kourtney was on a commercial flight from L.A. to New York on Wednesday, and she started to frantically search for her phone. According to all sources, she raised a stink when Travis dropped his phone between their business class seats as the plane was departing the tarmac. So as the plane began taking off, she started, quote, frantically searching, and demanded five more minutes. When the flight attendant did what flight attendants are supposed to do and asked her to take a seat because they're taking off, and this is not peak time to talk about, or this is not the peak time to find your phone. Just wait till after we, you know, get to our cruising altitude, and then you can go look for your phone. So apparently she got into kind of a kerfuffle with the flight attendant, and according to a source, quotes, she got into a bit of a kerfuffle and was quite bratty. She was not nice and was very much acting like a child. Barker, for his part, apparently remained in the seat, and the flight attendant asked Kourtney to stay in hers, but she, quote, kept freaking out, saying, "Give me five more minutes! Honey, they ain't holding up this plane for you."
Listen, if you're a Kardashian,
oh, there you are! Hello, girl!
Hi, I'm here! Hi! If you're a Kardashian, you think they hold everything up for you.
Okay, this is absolutely correct, 100%. So again, just to reiterate, Kourtney's D-bag because, of course, they, or she could not keep herself in her seat until they took off. Now, that is a story, totally believable as far as I'm concerned. Just to give you a little bit more information, allegedly, supposedly, the passenger who squawked over at Page Six said the phone fell underneath one of those crazy reclining chairs in business class. She was the one looking for it. He was not moving. She was in the aisle and was even bending over and using the light from her phone to search for it, which, like, is totally, I don't know, understandable if you lost a phone, right?
Right.
Okay, so that's the story. But can we also talk, have you ever been on a flight when they tell you, if you drop your phone, don't look for it. Call a flight attendant because it could be a fire hazard.
Ooh, no, I've never heard that.
Okay, so I have heard this a couple times, the last few times I've flown, and I'm like, is that a thing? Like, why do you need the flight attendant to come look for the phone you dropped? Can someone explain that to me? Please send an email because I'm confused.
Anyway, I'm confused about that too. I've never heard that.
And I've heard it more than once on different flights, on different airlines. So that's when I, like, the second time I heard it on a different airline, I was like, okay, so that's a thing. And I would like to understand how dropping your phone between your seats is a fire hazard.
Well, also,
because if my phone is a fire hazard, I need to know about it, but I don't
right?
think it is.
Well, anyway. I don't know. Those
but also, I'm not one to argue in the friendly skies because I don't want
to. Also, that's so that thank you, which off. Brings me to my next question, which is like, Courtney, I mean, and Travis for that matter, I get it. Like, it doesn't feel good to be without your phone for a minute. I understand that. But maybe take a deep breath. It's just a phone. It's okay. It's going to turn up.
It'll happen.
You didn't throw it out the plane window. It's in the vestibule somewhere.
Yeah, like, you didn't even drop it in the toilet.
No, it's there somewhere. It's okay. It's not going
to
be lost.
The one thing I will say is it would be frustrating if it like went like all the way to the back of the plane and then you have to like go one by one by one and like, excuse me, pardon me. Like climbing under all those seats would be really uncomfortable.
That would be frustrating. That is true. That is true. But maybe like at some point you can get a search party going. Maybe call the thing with another phone.
Yeah, find my iPhone.
Follow the vibration. Yes. There's so many.
Anyways,
options.
I need somebody to send an email explaining why the phone is a fire hazard. Please and thank you, Courtney. Also, nice try getting your D-bag story off the headlines by trying to get married instead. I see what you're doing.
Thank you.
Right? Mm-hmm. Who's your D-bag?
Oh, look at this. It's Khloe Kardashian.
Oh, another Kardashian.
Bing, bong. Okay. So, what is our biggest critique about Khloe Kardashian?
That she is sad.
Oh, poor Khloe.
So I want to be very clear. Our critique of Khloe isn't about how she actually looks. It's about how she makes herself look. And what I mean is,
oh, the extreme filtering. Yes. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. She Among overfilters other things, yeah. And we're like, girl, we have eyeballs. We know what you really look like because mm-hmm. we've seen you. Okay. So she did a video for her business, Good American. Good American is her clothing business. I've heard that her
people jeans rave about
are the
those
best
jeans
in the
yeah.
world. Mm-hmm. I know. So I keep on thinking I got to pull the trigger and buy one of those pair of jeans, but it's hard to part with $90 when you're not quite sure. Okay. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. So Khloe's trying, she's doing using her Instagram and she's trying to recruit people to work as a model for Good American.
Okay.
So if you open up the story and look at Khloe Kardashian in this Instagram video, mm-hmm. what do you see?
She looks like she's wearing a silk robe.
She okay. looks like her enhanced filtered version of Khloe Kardashian.
Yeah. That okay. doesn't look like the usual Khloe, I guess. Although I don't know
Khloe
what that
says,
is anymore. I'm having a hard time.
I know. Nobody
yeah,
knows.
What is that?
We don't know. But this is what Khloe says in this video on Instagram where she's trying to recruit people to be models for her Good American brand. Hi, everyone. I'm so excited because we are bringing open casting back. We are going all around the U.S. to find women of all size and ethnicities, the best version of you. Just be true to who you are.
Unlike me and my entire family.
Exactly.
We
and
all
there
look like the same person.
And then she enhances it by saying, you have the opportunity to be flown out to LA, a chance to meet me and sign with one of the top agencies in the business. I'd be like, yeah, girl, I would like to come and see what your face really looks like.
Oh,
that is something I would like to see. I would like to see Khloe Kardashian in the wild, meaning like just to happen upon her on the street because this woman, like, look, everybody wants the best version of themselves on right. social media. Like, nobody is posting troll photos intentionally of themselves. Some people just aren't aware, right? Like, true. But every one of us is trying to make sure the right angle, the right lighting, the right filtering is applied. But you also, most people, I think, have an awareness of what's, you know, like, you might apply a filter and go, I mean, I like that.
But that's not my
but
face.
But that, according to what's the guy's name who does the talk show? According to
Donahue?
Yes.
Maury Povich?
Maury Povich.
Mike Douglas?
The lie detector test has determined.
Maury, that's Mopo.
That is a lie, not Mike Douglas. Nice try, Holly. Like, you can, most people can do that math where they look at it and they're like, yeah, I mean, I would like to look like that, but I don't look like that. And so you don't, right, because you know your friends will be like, hey, girl, did you fall asleep on the filter button last night?
Did it get stuck?
Yeah. Or anybody, well, if you don't have friends like that, you should, honestly, because it'll save you in the end. Anyway, yeah, I'm saying, like, I get it. I get the impulse, but, like, when people actually see you, aren't they going to be like, oh, that's interesting. That's not the same person, is it?
Which is why it's doubly funny that she's like, hey, everybody, just be yourself. Show up the best version of you. And she's like, I found a new version of me.
Yeah.
Yeah. I bought the new version of me.
Yeah. I paid for it.
Yeah.
But that's always... The curiosity about all of that is they are not creating a look that is meant to be viewed outside of the context of photographic media, like mediation. Like, you are not meant to see Khloe Kardashian in real life, because if you actually did, the space-time continuum would break.
Listen, this is like reverse. You know, remember when like an old-time celebrities, they used to have to go out in disguise. Well, the Kardashians do that in reverse. Like, the version that they show of themselves is super not them. And so then when you see them in real life, you're like, who are those trolls?
I don't
people?
Know if you
it's
know
the
this,
Kardashians.
But I have it on good authority that actually Khloe Kardashian is Bea Arthur. Like, wouldn't you die if, like, somebody, like, one of us was a Kardashian and you had no idea? But we have been, like, living an alternative, like, filter life.
It's like Scooby-Doo.
Like, wait a minute. You were a Kardashian this whole time.
Yeah, and you would have gotten away with it if it wasn't for you meddling kids.
That's the brilliance of it. That's the brilliance of it, you guys. They can go out into the wild and nobody will know it's them.
Guy named Mel. Khloe Kardashian is a 64-year-old man named Mel from Cincinnati. Hi.
And we are all getting played.
Yeah.
Also, quick question, and I'm honestly asking this, and I realize what a dumb question it is. Can they put filters on, like, can they do that on the cameras that they use film their Hulu show?
Are you kidding?
Oh my gosh, everything is,
they were doing this to Whitney Houston back in the day. May she rest in peace. There's not a day goes by that I don't think about, well, okay, maybe a day or two, but very rarely a week, because I just thought about her last week and how much I miss Whitney Houston. Anyway, the moral of the story is,
I didn't know. I'm sorry.
It's true. I mean, I just think about the music that we lost. We don't have time for this, but
grieve on your own
they
time.
They were post-producing her, and they've done this with other celebrities for years.
They do this with every single thing that we watch has been manipulated in post-production.
Yeah,
to look better, to airbrush the face, to do whatever. And if you go and you read what people are doing in the editing room, they're like, they advise actors, they're like, no. You want us to touch up your face.
I mean, go to a Zoom meeting.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
You're like, that's all awful you.
I want to be very clear about something.
You have
I
that filter.
Very, very clear about something.
Yeah.
That we're all unfiltered?
YouTube. Yeah, we are on YouTube, and what you're getting is unfiltered.
This is very unfiltered.
That's true.
That is true. We are unfiltered!
Sorry about it.
Pew, pew. Lucky
not
for
sorry!
You.
Not well, sorry!
Get on no, it. Why aren't we being filtered? Wow. Somebody make that happen.
Yeah, that's my next question. Where's the budget for my filtering?
Well,
we spent
filter
it.
Filter this.
We spent it on this miraculous budget. That we have here on the Colleen and Bradley
show. Award-winning show.
Well, it is award-winning, but
it is.
We got no
we
budget.
Won an award
so,
one time.
Thank you. When we come back, our good friend Katie Holmes is in headlines yet again, apropos of absolutely nothing. And I would like to update you on what her dating situation is, because I know you've been waiting patiently to hear that. Correct?
Thank you.
You're welcome. We'll do that when we come back right here on Mike Talk 107.1. I'm thinking it's time to grow. Thank you, Holly. And we need to get right to the relationships of one Katie Holmes, or should I say, the lack thereof. Good afternoon and welcome to the Colleen and Bradley Show here on My Talk 107.1. I'm the Bradley. That's the Colleen.
Hi, I'm the Colleen.
Apropos of nothing but attention-seeking behavior, we now know what Katie Holmes' dating situation is. I know you're very excited.
Great.
I would also like to talk about how she was once a heroine of pop culture. Not heroine, the drug. But I'm sure to one Emilio Vitolo Jr., she was heroine indeed. Regardless, but in addition to her having once been a heroine, I want to know, I do believe, rather, that she's kind of just a cupcake-making sad trombone. So you might remember she likes to make cupcakes. You guys, I saw this exclusive over at Us Weekly, and whenever we see an exclusive over at Us Weekly or any tabloid of that ilk, what do we generally assume here on the Colleen and Bradley Show?
That the call is coming from inside the house.
Yeah, so this probably came from her people. Okay.
Yeah. They were like, we need to get her name out there.
That Katie Holmes. Also, again, I would just like to appreciate, we used to be like up here with Katie Holmes, and now we're down here talking about life post Emilio Vitolo Jr.
Yay.
Katie Holmes has been on low-key dates. Isn't searching for love after her split from Emilio Vitolo? Okay. So a source exclusively tells Us Weekly, Katie's been going on a few low-key dates, but nothing really serious right now. You know, she was dating that Emilio Vitolo Jr. guy, and things seem to be going strong, but they decided to give each other space. So, you know, they didn't have any drama with their breakup. But since then, she's been kind of like hanging out and doing stuff, but nothing really that particular, you know?
Okay, so what's the story then?
I mean, exactly.
I mean,
there is no story.
I know that's the point.
Yeah.
But it's like, okay, all right. Like, okay, just go with me. Because let's pretend we're Katie Holmes people and we're all sitting around a table and we're like, we got to get Katie's name out there.
Yeah.
Nobody's talking about Katie Holmes. How is this the story that we lead with?
I know. Well, you'd think there are about 30 other stories. The only thing I could think of, and again, literally the only part of this story that is a story, is the two things that I shared, which is that Katie's been going on a few very low key dates, but nothing serious right now. And is not focused on her dating life and not searching for love. So basically nothing to see here, which begs the question that you just asked. Why are we telling the story? Right. The only thing I could think of is, was this like from Emilio Vitolo Jr.?
To get his name back in headlines?
No, that's not the worst theory.
well, you know, which is nothing because... Mm-hmm. Like, it talks about him more than once, and his name is actually in the headline.
Right.
And we know that Emilio Vitolo Jr., Colleen, for the audience out there going, I don't know what that is. And I know you guys don't talk like that, but for the purposes of this show, it sounds funnier if you do. Colleen, can you just, for the audience who's like, I don't know what that is, explain what an Emilio Vitolo Jr. is?
Sure. So Emilio Vitolo Jr. is the son of, or the owner of, a family restaurant in New York City. And I cannot for the life of me remember. It's like Babaluna something or another.
Cucina Amore. I don't know.
One moment, please.
Thanks. Anyway, it's a restaurant that apparently a lot of celebrities like to frequent.
Emilio's and, Bellotto.
Oh, yeah.
Where all the celebrities like to get their spaghetti.
Exactly. So apparently this is like one of those places with pictures of celebrities on the wall. He has boasted that he has a friendship with the Jonas Brothers, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Anyway, he and Katie Holmes were taken up with each other, you know, pandemic style, like masking and relaxing.
All cool.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They were shooting some b-ball outside of the pool. But anyway, no, they were like walking around New York City, you know, pandemic style, pandemic love. And he was getting all kinds of attention. And then he worked on a project that she directed or produced. because he wants to be an actor.
Yeah,
which is exactly why I fully agree with you that he is the one that's working this zombie publication ship.
Well, I also think because in addition to the fact that his name is in the headline of the story, it also makes him look not like the story isn't. Katie Holmes is hot and heavy with everyone who's not Emilio Vitolo Jr. after breaking up with him, right? Like, mm-hmm. it gives a little bit of information about Katie Holmes, but to our earlier point, nothing really that we cared to know about Katie Holmes, because it's like, right. Well, it's no big deal. But it also is like, she's not really, you know, she's been on some low-key dates, sure, but, like, nobody's really sticking after the, you know, hunka-hunka burnin' love that she was rolling around with drinking Meiomi Wines, which is the wine brand that she... was plugging in, you know, some tabloid photo spreads.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, wearing the leather pants inside alone. Who does
listening
that? Oh, it was a pandemic. You know, we were all doing
records.
That, Holly.
That's true.
We were all wearing leather pants alone, eating cupcakes.
I was wearing leather pants, but I was eating cupcakes, all right.
So I don't know. I have no idea if it's who's... But at the end of the day, as I said at the very outset of this segment... This just, you know, she used to be like, we used to talk about Katie Holmes like she was, you know, the celebrity savior. She, you know, escaped from Tom Cruise, single-handedly, like, thwarted the Church of Scientology to get away with her child, like, mm-hmm. not without my daughter style. And then all of a sudden, she just became this, like, cupcake, you know, shilling celebrity, like, second-rate celebrity. And it's kind of just a buzzkill. Like, I feel it's bad. It's a bummer. Yeah. So I don't know if she just needs better representation or better projects because she's doing stuff.
I mean, she is. She's doing stuff. But, like, okay, can I be honest?
I'd prefer it.
Is this a safe place?
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of people are listening, but sure.
She's not really that great of an actress. Like, she's not good.
But she had achieved a level, you know, that's true of a lot of people in
Hollywood. That's true. No, you're right. You're absolutely right.
But she had crafted a celebrity for herself that sort of outkicked its coverage, that's to your true. Point. And I feel like now it's just kind of like, she's had a lot of low-key dates lately. Oh, great. Thanks.
Okay.
Wow.
Wow.
Oh, Katie.
We tried. Okay, when we come back, what's your favorite movie theater? Like, where are you guys enjoying going to see the movies right now? It is a legitimate question. I would like the answer to 651-641-1071.